So we have a lot to get through in the service today. And so we have a shortened teaching on the topic of kindness. And today, Brad Gray is going to be opening God's word on the topic of kindness. Brad leads walkingthetext.com, teaching the Bible in its original context. And he's one of our favorite teachers around here. So would you please welcome Brad Gray.
Well, it is indeed Pentecost Sunday, and it is a day that we celebrate the giving of the Spirit 2,000 years ago. But Pentecost wasn't a new holiday. In fact, it was a festival from the Hebrew Scriptures that is known as Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, that celebrated God giving his very words at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19 and 20. And so on a day like today, we remember that God gave his words and that God gave his Spirit, and that together with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we are called out to live the way of God in the world today. And boy, do we need that more than ever before. I mean, Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who is in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." We want God's kingdom advancing here in the greater Nashville area, just as it is in heaven. And so today we've got this amazing opportunity to jump back into our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And when you start thinking about all the fruits of the Spirit thus far, we have that Paul writes for all of these different traits that the Spirit gives, that the Spirit gives love, joy, peace, patience, and then you come to kindness. And I don't know about you, but when we get to kindness, it feels a little bit like a weak virtue in comparison to things like love and peace and joy. But kindness is actually a very, very powerful virtue. But the problem is we don't often understand what biblical kindness is all about. And Sarah did a really great job highlighting this in the kids section, but this is something that I see running around my house quite often. It's a shirt that says, "Be nice." My elementary age school kids are using this shirt and wearing this shirt as this is their school slogan. Now, there's nothing wrong with being nice, but being nice is not the same as being kind. And the problem comes when we think that niceness is the same as kindness. Niceness kind of carries this connotation of, hey, don't be that problematic child. You know, oftentimes we say be nice as a way of saying, hey, just don't be mean. Some of you parents probably just said to one of your kids, be nice to your brother and sister, because they're already getting restless in the midst of the living room. In the school, it's the idea of just don't be that kid that causes problems. Be respectful, you know, be good. And that's all wonderful and great, but being nice is not the same as being kind. Because in the Bible, kindness goes further than niceness. And if we think that we're called to be nice, but we don't actually live into being kind, I believe we are missing out on a massive opportunity to be the witness of Jesus Christ in a world right now that desperately needs kindness, not niceness. Now, why do we say that? Well, let's jump in for a few moments and allow me just to geek on the Greek for just a few moments. So hang with me. When Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, it's this word krestases. Let me hear you say krestates. Very good. It's a tongue twister. Try saying that 10 times fast. Now, here's where we're going to kind of geek on the Greek for a few moments. Krestates is the word kindness, and it comes from the Greek adjective krestos, which comes from a Greek verb kraomai. Okay, there is not going to be a quiz on this. And that kraomai is a word that means to make use of. So if you had to define krestates, you can say that krestates is this word that means the quality of being useful, helpful, or being beneficial. If you just had to shrink it down, you could say that the kindness in the Bible is usefulness. If it isn't useful, it isn't kind. Because kindness at its core is useful, it's helpful, it's beneficial, and it's often used in meeting the needs of other people. Now, we're just jumping into Galatians 5, where Paul just rattles through all of these different virtues. And one of the things that's helpful when you got a list like this is to take that word, kindness, and ask the question, Paul, where else do you use this word? And maybe give us a little bit more context, because when Paul is using this word, he has a certain understanding in mind. And this isn't the only place Paul talks about kindness. In fact, he talks about kindness all over the place in his letters. And one in particular is in his letter to Titus. So let me show you here on a map that when Paul writes to the Galatians, this is in southern Turkey today, he also writes a letter to a guy by the name of Titus who is on the island of Crete. And when Paul sends his companion Titus to Crete, he is sending him there to deal with some issues that are happening on this island among the Jesus community. And what's cool is that when you set Galatians next to Titus, you recognize that both the Galatians and the Cretans are difficult people, and Paul is addressing similar issues in both. And in doing so, he talks about these people in such a way where he contrasts what we naturally do as people who are not in connection to God, our normal habits, our normal responses, and he contrasts that then to what happens when we experience God in our lives. And so in the midst of this letter that Paul writes to Titus, notice what he writes in Titus chapter 3. He writes this on the heels of talking about how much we needed God. He says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now, notice what Paul just did here. When he talks about God sending Jesus into the world, he talks about that in terms of both love as well as kindness. Why? Because kindness is usefulness. We didn't want God just to be nice to us. We didn't want God just to empathize with us. We needed God to be kind to us, because we needed something that we could not get out of on our own. And Paul says that's God's love and God's kindness working together. And he talks about this in the context of the Holy Spirit. And so notice how Paul continues. He says, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And then get this. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. excellent and profitable for everyone. Of course they are, because kindness is usefulness. If it isn't useful, it isn't kindness. Now, we can kind of step back and we can compare and contrast, you know, kindness and niceness, but how does this get fleshed out in everyday life? What are some different facets of how kindness manifests itself in our daily lives? So let me just offer you a couple of thoughts around how kindness plays itself out. For many of us, we've had this experience a lot over the last couple of months. We look out our window and we see the Amazon truck. We see the UPS guy. We see the FedEx gal. We see our postal worker coming to the door. And we can be nice. We can open up the door and say, hey, thank you so much. Have a great day. And that would be great. That would be nice. Or we could stand at the door with a nice ice-cold bottle of water or an ice-cold Coca-Cola or an ice-cold sweet tea because we live in Tennessee, for crying out loud. This is something I would have never thought about living in West Michigan. And you can say, hey, in the midst of this pandemic, we know that you have been working longer hours. You have served us so well, and I just want to let you know how grateful I am for your service. Which one of these three would you like? Or you could have all three, or I could go and get you something else. You see, you can just say thank you, and that would be nice. Or you could be kind and go above and beyond. You see, people will accept your niceness, but what they really want is your kindness. Because kindness, you could say this, kindness blesses people in fun, creative, and unexpected ways. In fact, there's an entire movement around this, and we call it acts of kindness, not acts of niceness, because kindness is usefulness. Kindness can manifest itself in other ways as well. Think about it in this way. Someone you know just had a new baby, and that family brings that baby home, and you call them up because in the midst of the pandemic, you weren't allowed to go to the hospital, and you just say, hey, congratulations, do you need anything? And unless there's someone who knows you really well, they'll probably say thank you and say, no, we're all set. But that's just being nice. Kindness looks like this, because you've been there, you know what it's like, and you call up and you say, hey, congratulations on your new baby. We know that this is a busy time and that one of the things that you probably need are some meals. And so I'm not going to ask you, do you need any meals? Because you may say, I think we're doing okay. Instead, I'm going to tell you that for the next 4 weeks, we're going to bring you dinner twice a week. And on each Sunday afternoon, I'm going to call you up and you tell me which day you want them delivered and we're going to bring it over. Because kindness is something that anticipates the need and meets it before it's asked for. You see, people will accept your niceness, but what they really want is your kindness. Or you know someone who just had surgery, and so you recognize that their lawn is a bit long. And you know they're the kind of person that is totally fine with however their lawn may look. They're not like that really particular person that every single blade of grass has to be cut perfectly. And so you feel the freedom to not call up and say, hey, can I come mow your yard? You actually just go and do it. That's the difference between being kind or just calling up and say, hey, can I mow your yard? And by the way, the person in your household that does most of the cooking appreciates it when you say thank you. That's being nice. Go put the dishes in the dishwasher. Unload them. That is kindness. That is different than niceness. or think about kindness also in this way. Several years ago, I was leading a trip in Israel, and there was a particular teaching that I was very excited about because it was near and dear to my heart. And it was one of those teachings that I felt like people had misunderstood what Jesus actually did in a particular moment during his ministry. And it was all about how he was demonstrating the compassion of God. And I was particularly passionate about it because I felt like oftentimes Christians have misunderstood this and it's actually brought a lot of pain on other people. And so in the midst of this teaching, I am really passionate about what is going on. And I deliver the teaching and I felt really good about it. And it was like, there we go. We're setting the record straight. Let's now live this out. And a couple days later during the trip, a very wise gentleman came to me away from everybody else. And he said this to me. He said, "Brad, I can't tell you enough how grateful I am for how God has met me on this trip. And the sights and the experiences and the teachings have been amazing. But there's one teaching in particular that has just not set well with me. And I just want to talk with you about it." He said, "You remember that teaching that you gave at such and such a location about the compassion of God?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You know what struck me about that teaching?" He said, "Your tone didn't match the message you were trying to get across. You were talking about the compassion of God, but you did it in a tone that was frustrated and angry." And he said, "I did not hear compassion. I heard anger. And I believe that you undermined the message in that moment." And I remember just being in that moment. And I was angry, not at Mark for what he said. In fact, I was grateful for what he said. I was angry because I felt like I had blown that teaching. I was embarrassed because I felt like that was a mistake I shouldn't have made. But I remember specifically in that moment looking Mark in the eyes and saying, "Thank you. Thank you for being so kind to me." Because here's the other thing about kindness, is that kindness responds to difficult situations in a manner that's loving and helpful. He could have been nice and just said, "Hey, thank you for that teaching," but instead he was kind because, yes, I would have accepted his niceness, but what I really needed in that moment was his kindness. I needed the love and the grace and the truth wrapped in helpfulness because I did not realize what I did not know in that moment. And what I needed to know is that I needed to be better in times like that when I'm very passionate about a subject, that my tone matches the message. And then if I'm going to talk about the love and grace of God, my tone better resemble the love and grace of God. And friends, that's what kindness does, is that kindness enters in to difficult circumstances and it responds in a helpful way. And so let me just ask you for a moment, in the midst of all of the stress we are experiencing in our world, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of the racism and the rioting, how are we responding in a way that's useful, that's helpful, that's beneficial? Because if our response isn't useful, it isn't kindness. I love how one writer puts it. He says this, he says, "As a direct outworking of love, kindness is always alive and active, breaking out spontaneously in the life of the person who is led by Christ." What I love about this is that what he is saying is that our MO as followers of Jesus is to respond with kindness in any and every situation. That when things get rough, this is how we are to respond. And he says, as those who are led by Christ. And so let me just share with you one more passage that has been particularly helpful to me in thinking through how do I, like you, grow my kindness, grow our kindness in the midst of challenging seasons, especially the kind of season we find ourselves in. And Jesus has this great passage that many of us know well, and I never knew this word was buried in this passage. But when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus talks about his yoke being easy. Now, when Jesus talks about his yoke, he's talking about his teaching method. He's talking about how he's interpreting the very words of God. He's talking about his movement. And when he says, "My yoke is easy," it's actually the Greek word Christos, which is that adjective form of Christates, the same word Paul gives in Galatians when he says kindness. Jesus says, "My yoke is kind." And what I love about this and Jesus talking about that, he says, "I want you to come to me because of the many benefits I will offer you. My yoke is going to be kind to you. It's going to be helpful. It's going to be useful. It's going to be beneficial. But even more than that, it's going to train you to be that way in the world." Coming from the same person who says, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, do not retaliate against an evil person, do not take revenge on someone who has hurt you, stand up for injustice, but do it in a way that is helpful and useful and beneficial." And Jesus says, "Come to me, and I'm going to give you that." And what I love about this in Titus is that the kindness and love first comes from God. And then Jesus says that I will grow it in you. I will work with you. And as we read in our fruit of the Spirit today, Paul says this is actually a fruit of the Spirit. This is something that the Spirit does inside of us. It is initiated from God. It is trained in us through Jesus, and it is carried out by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, friends, for us this morning, how can we cultivate this ground in our lives where the Holy Spirit can grow this fruit of kindness in us? Maybe for some of us, it would actually be helpful to buy a shirt like this and to wear it. Because we're only using this in this service, we're selling this thing just for $100. And I'm kidding, grab it online. Maybe for some of you, it's actually taking a card and just putting kindness or be kind, and you put it on your mirror at home, or you stick it on the dash of your car, and you just live over these next several days with a level of intentionality around kindness that maybe you've never focused in on before. That you just go, "Dear God, where have I been nice, but you've actually called me to be kind? Where am I just hitting the bare minimum, but kindness needs to take me above and beyond? God, where can I be helpful to someone that needs my help right now?" And if in doubt you don't know how to help, ask, but don't do a pathetic ask which says, "Hey, can I help you in any way?" Do the elevated ask, which is, "Hey, I'm in, I want to help, tell me what you need." Because I believe that when Paul says a fruit of the Spirit is kindness, this wasn't something he just threw in there. This wasn't just a nice filler to the other things that were going on. That this was a powerful virtue that was to define followers of Jesus and that could have a massive impact in the world today. Because what would it look like if you responded to others, not just with niceness, but with kindness? And if they responded to you in kindness, what would that do? What would that do in your marriage? What would that do in your family? What would that do with your coworkers? What would that do with your friends? What would that do for the witness of Jesus Christ and his church in the world today? So, niceness or kindness? See, niceness is about being cordial. Kindness is about going above and beyond. Niceness is meeting the bare minimum. Kindness is about being really useful. Niceness doesn't take much effort. Kindness takes great creativity and effort. Niceness is largely forgettable. Kindness is really, really powerful. So be nice. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be better than that. We can be kind. Father God, we love and we bless and we thank you today that you are a God who led with kindness, and that in your kindness and in your love, you did for us what we could not do for ourselves. God, it is our prayer this morning that you would grow in us this virtue of kindness, that when we look in on our own situations right now, Jesus, we pray that we would reflect you in how we respond, particularly to those challenging circumstances. That as we look at what we have posted on social media over these last couple weeks, or how we have responded in certain situations or in conversations, God, if it wasn't helpful, if it wasn't useful, it wasn't kind, and Holy Spirit, we are asking that you would grow in us a spirit of kindness, that we would put you on display well, particularly at this critical cultural moment we find ourselves in. Because God, kindness is an extremely powerful virtue that is to define a follower of Jesus. So God, over these next several days, may we lean into kindness. May we extend to others kindness. And in doing so, may we be a compelling force for good in the world today. God, we love you, we bless you, we thank you. And everybody said, amen.
We thank Brad. Well, for so many of you who are watching in living rooms all over Williamson County and beyond, we have a resource called Around the Table. And if you're with your family or you're with friends or you're with a community group, I would encourage you to use that guided experience to respond to this really great teaching on kindness. So thank you, Brad. Also remember, next week, we're gonna be having our first in-person modified gatherings. You can go online, churchofthecity.com/reopening, and secure tickets to be in the auditorium or to be out on the field. And together, we'll be patient with one another, and we will wade our way into this next season as a church. Been thrilled to be with the small group of people here today. Love you guys, and looking forward to being with so many more of you next week. May the grace and peace of Jesus be with you. Amen.